Ford. Well, what a good deal. He's good, isn't he? Fantastic. He's everywhere. He's on the screen. He's on the stage live at the same time. Legacy offering will be very different this year. Very, very different. Normally, it's a big day. The house is full. There's lots of food and celebration. We all come out and give our offering together, and it's an amazing time. This year, it's going to be very different. And this year, we'll really test our church in terms of just, you know, where our heart response is at in terms of this. Because this year, we won't be able to do any of that. Guys, can you just bring the sound down a bit, please? We won't be able to do any of that this year. This year, our giving will be predominantly electronic. And so what that means is this, is we still issue a promise card. So there's a promise card if you want to use that for a pledge. That's the card, and you fill your details out on there, how you're going to give, and what frequency you're going to give. There's also an envelope for those that want to give online to nominate what you're giving and how you're going to give that on our online platforms, and the amount that you will give, you can use that on the day. We use a combination of that. For us, that's how we give. We give a lump sum on the day. We also pledge over the year. We do it every year. If you're a visitor in our house today, if you're a new person, and this is for our church family that are here all the time. And if you've been in our church for any length of time, you understand it's what we do every year. As I said, we use that money to pay down our mortgage on our facility here, which is very important to us. And then secondly, for other vision areas above $70,000. There's a little form, which this is really one of the most important parts of the whole process. It's a little card where we write down things that we're believing God for, miracles we're believing God to move in our lives this year. And this is for your record, to fill out some things, put it on your fridge, be praying. We're going to pray on the day particularly. So that's October 25. It's not far away. You will find a link on our website. If you want to utilize that, you can go to our website. There's a link there. If you go to the give section, hit the link. It'll have a form for you to fill out in terms of making a pledge or a promise if that's how you would like to give. But get on board. Let's make it work this year despite everything else that's going on. It's my privilege to speak to you for a few moments today. If you are new, my name's Tony, by the way. I'm part of the team here at Impact Church. I kind of live here virtually. This is my house in terms of what I do. And so I want to speak to you today, a new series. We're going to start a new series of thought. We're going to do it maybe for 4 weeks or so. And the title of this series is Kingdom Come. Everyone say Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come. Come. It comes from the Lord's Prayer, of course, which Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where it says this. It says, "Now it came to pass as he," that's Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, would you teach us to pray?'" Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Here's Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. If you want to know how to pray, this passage should be the most important passage that you read in the Bible about how to pray. And this is what Jesus says. So he said to them, "When you pray, say." When you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." In other words, bless your name. Praise your name, Father. Because, and hallowed be your name. Then he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the request was, "God, would you teach us how to pray?" And so Jesus says, "Okay, when you pray, say." When you pray, say. What you say when you pray is very important. So Jesus answered the question very directly. He was asked, "Lord, teach us how to pray." So he said, "When you pray, say." When you pray, say. Say this. And he said, start with praise. Praise and adore the name of the Father. Hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven. I want to focus on the next three lines where Jesus said this. When you pray, say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I love the thought that Jesus didn't leave it a mystery, but he'd actually told us what to pray and how to pray. So this is how we are to pray. Now, can I make this comment to people that pray in the room today? And hopefully I'm talking to all of us. When we pray, our prayer is to be less about ourselves and more about God and his kingdom and his will and his plan and his purpose and his passion. For many people, when they pray, it's all about them. It's all about their need. It's all about their moment. It's all about their circumstance. And it's all about their situation. And there are times to pray in that way. But if that is the predominant part of your prayer life, then your prayer life needs to be corrected with the words of Jesus when he said, when you pray, say. Turn to your neighbor and say, say. Say. Say when you pray, your kingdom come. We're called to pray the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus says, I want you to pray this way, that deserves our attention. That deserves our attention when Jesus instructs us how to pray a certain way. I want you to notice that when Jesus came, he came with one message. It was the message of the coming kingdom. Everything he said was under the umbrella of the coming kingdom, the kingdom that he would usher in, the kingdom that would come when he came, the kingdom that would be here once he was on earth, but also in a sense it was yet to come in all of its fullness. Now, to understand what Jesus was teaching us to pray, we have to first know what a kingdom is. What a kingdom is, and why it's so important for believers to be kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded in the way that we live our lives, because most of us don't really understand kingdom. We know the word, but we don't have a frame for what a kingdom is, because most of us have grown up and were raised in democratic society, a democratic government system. And it's very different, a democratic society, to a kingdom society. And if you don't understand kingdom, you'll end up living by the culture and the standards and the thoughts and the ideologies and the philosophies of your democratic society, of the world. And Jesus said about the world, he said, we are in the world, but we are not of the world, and not to be conformed to the standards of this world. So once again, we need to pay attention and lean in and take note, because there's something in this kingdom thought, and I want to bring it to us. I want to bring it to us over the next 4 weeks so that we understand kingdom better, how to live kingdom, how to be kingdom-minded as believers. Otherwise, we live under the privilege, which means we live under the level of the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives by living in kingdom. So let's define kingdom. Kingdom is defined by this. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over a territory, impacting the territory with his will, his purpose, his intent, which produces a culture and a lifestyle for citizens. And so that definition tells us that there's certain things, there's certain dynamics that need to be in a kingdom. And this is the kind of thing, this definition, that Jesus is asking us to pray for, to pray that his kingdom come, where there be a king that governs and influences that territory, where the territory is impacted by his will, his purpose, and his intent, which produces a culture and a lifestyle for the citizens of the kingdom to enjoy. You know, every time that Jesus taught, he brought kingdomology. That's my word, kingdomology. Every time Jesus taught, he brought kingdomology to us. In other words, he taught us the thoughts and the ways and the principles of what it is to be a kingdom citizen in the kingdom of God. Not just any kingdom, but in the kingdom of God. Even in this example of prayer, Jesus was bringing a kingdom concept to our prayer life and taught us, when you pray, say this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When he taught, he constantly challenged and changed mindsets towards kingdomology. Not just any kingdom, but his kingdom, the kingdom of God. So every kingdom must have four things. There must be four components to every kingdom. Firstly, a king. And Kanye West was right when he sang it, Jesus is king. Everyone say, Jesus is king? Jesus is king. So firstly, a kingdom must have a king. Secondly, it must have a government, which are the ways and the word of God in the kingdom of God. Then it must have a territory, which is the entire earth, is the territory of the kingdom of God. And then citizens, which are believers from every nation. Let's take our time today to kind of go through a Bible study of each of these, which is a little bit of a different presentation for us, but let's do it that way today. Firstly, there's a king, and Jesus is the king. You know, in a democracy, we have a prime minister, and our prime minister is elected by the people. It's our democratic process. We all get to vote who will be our leader, which party. We all have our opportunity and our say. You're going to have that say in Queensland very shortly as to what you want and who you want to be like the leader of our government here in Queensland. We get that right in a democratic society. You don't have that right in a kingdom. In a kingdom, you have a king that is sovereign. In a king, you have a king, a royal family that rules. And so the king is the sovereign authority. I want you to notice today and understand that Jesus is king. He's not just a baby that was born in a manger, not just a son, not just a rabbi, not just a teacher. He wasn't, note these words carefully and don't misunderstand me. He wasn't just a savior that went to the cross. Jesus is the king of God's kingdom, and he rules and reigns with a crown upon a heavenly throne. Jesus is king today. You know, I think it's a shame, but some people never take Jesus off the cross. I think that's why he took himself down from the cross. I think that's why the Holy Spirit took him down from the cross. And none of us took him down from the cross. Because Jesus took himself down from the cross in terms of being raised from the dead in the resurrection, so that none of us could claim that we did that. He doesn't want to stay on a cross. The cross is important. It's pivotal. It's central to everything we believe. I'm passionate about the cross. I preach the cross. I believe in the cross. It's the only way for the sins of humanity to be forgiven. But don't leave Jesus on the cross. Get him off the cross, because he's gone beyond the cross to a place of being crowned. He's now crowned. And he's now sitting and ruling and reigning in heavenly places, is what our Bible tells us. So don't stop at the cross. If you stop at the cross, you've only done part of the journey. You've only done part of the journey. You've only heard part of the God story if you've just left Jesus on the cross. Allow him to be off the cross and to be ruling and reigning as the supreme king of God's kingdom. So Jesus went to the cross, but he wears a crown. He went to the cross, but he wears a crown. You know, some people leave Jesus in a manger. News for us, he's not there. He's not even in the grave. He's in the heavenly realms, ruling and reigning today. It's like when someone meets you after 30 years. They remember you when you were 12 years of age. But now you're all growing up, and you're 40 or you're 50. But all they have is that frame of what you used to be. That's how a lot of people see Jesus. Let's update. Let's get an update from heaven about where Jesus is right now and what he's doing right now, our ruling and reigning king who's praying for all of us and praying that God the Father would bring the breakthrough in every situation. Yes, Jesus was the lamb that went to the slaughter, but now he's the lion. Now he's the king. It didn't stop at the cross. It continued all the way to the throne. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy. He says, "Now to the King eternal." Listen to the descriptive here of the king, of Jesus. He says, "Now to the king eternal, immortal, invisible." What an amazing king. An eternal, immortal, invisible king. Not only that, the only God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is king. He's ruling and reigning in the heavens today. He is king of the kingdom that we are a part of, and he is eternal, he is immortal, and he is invisible. Secondly, we need a government in the kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, we have a government, and that government is the ways and the word of God. The ways and the word of God. The prophet Isaiah pictured it like this, well before it ever happened. Some hundreds of years before this event took place. He says, for unto us a child, you know it because you all sing it at Christmas time and read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the what? The government. The government. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the next verse says, and of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. This is the eternal king, the immortal king, the invisible king. And the prophet Isaiah kind of saw it in his spirit and wrote of it as he saw it and sensed it to be, that there would come this day where this baby would be born who would become such a great one and the leader of his own kingdom's government. And he says, of his government and of his peace there will be no end. Do you know, when Jesus came, he came to bring heaven's government to earth. He came to bring heaven's government to earth. He came to bring God's way of doing things to us. A government that would be a government of peace and a government of longevity. How many prime ministers have we had in the last decade? They fall over, like they change so rapidly. The good news about the governance of heaven is it's stable. There's a continuance there. There's a continuity there. There's a consistency there. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. The invisible, eternal, immortal King. Thank God for a government like that. In other words, once the kingdom of God comes, it just keeps coming. It keeps coming towards us. It keeps approaching us. It never stops. It never will stop. Nothing will stop it. You know, in a kingdom, the words of the king are law. In a kingdom, the words of the king are law. And what happens is the king's words are scripted into law in a kingdom, and it becomes law for all the subjects of the kingdom, all the citizens of the kingdom. And the word and the law is meant to give direction. It's meant to give direction and protection. That's what law does. A lot of people have issue about laws, but laws simply direct and protect. That's why they're there. Laws on the highway, like that sign with 60 on it or 100 on it, it's not a hint. It says, ask any police officer. That's not a hint that you do 60. It's not a hint that you do 100. Anyone feeling the heat right now? It's actually a directive, and it's there for protection. The lines on the road, meaning that you can go that way or that way, they're not a hint. You can't just drive anywhere. You drive in your lane. Imagine if we just didn't obey the law. If we all just disregarded the law and just all did our own thing right now, when we went home, on the way home. It's just absolute chaos. So laws are there to direct, and laws are there to protect and to help us function. In a democracy, when it comes to, you know, who's your president or your prime minister or your, what do we call Anna? Our Premier, yes, I knew it was another P. Our Premier, our President, or our Prime Minister, when it comes to that leadership level and I guess the way things function, there's a level of debate. As citizens, we can debate things. We can debate it. We debate it on Facebook. Where all good debates happen. We debated in all sorts of social media platforms. We debated in letters to the editor, letters to Parliament, letters to members, phone calls. We debated among ourselves and all these political conversations that people have. But in a kingdom, there is no debate. In a kingdom, the government is based upon his thoughts and his ways. And what we need to understand as citizens of the kingdom of God is that his ways are higher than our ways, so we embrace his ways over our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Once again, Isaiah said the same thing. He says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts, in terms of God talking, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. How many of us understand today God's thoughts and ways are just a whole new level? They're a whole new level. That's why it's so hard to grasp them and to understand them and even to embrace them and to follow them, because they're so much higher. They're so much deeper. They're so much wider, so much broader are the ways of God and the thoughts of God. So when it comes to his kingdom, his word is law. His word is law. In other words, it's how the kingdom operates. So when it comes to us being a citizen in the kingdom of God, we're called to live in surrender. Everyone say surrender? In surrender to the king. In surrender to his word. Citizens actually lay down their life in a kingdom to live for the king. It's very familiar to what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. If any of you want to be my follower, any of you want to be a citizen in my kingdom, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. Why? Because my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is how kingdom operates. I hope I'm helping you today. I'm trying to help you understand how the kingdom of God operates and why the word of God so often it just grates against us, and it's such a frustration to us because it's so different to the way and the system of this world that we've been raised in and raised by. This is God's word. God's word gives direction and it gives protection. So Jesus said exactly the same thing. If you want to be my follower, if you want to be a citizen of my kingdom, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, the problem with that is this, is for many of us, we want to try and navigate and debate with God. And I've done that many occasions and still do. And I suppose most of us in the room have been in that zone and in that moment where we've negotiated with God. And we've tried to strike a deal with God. A bargain with God, debate God even over why I should do something or not do something, and we try and defend ourselves. You know, the best thing to do is just surrender and give up and lean into the word of God, embrace the word of God, because Jesus is king and his word is law. He's scripted it for our benefit, for our protection, and for our direction. And the reason we try and do all that debating and negotiating and navigating whatever with God, the reason we try and do that is because we're democratic. We're raised in a democratic society. We're raised in a democratic government. And if we don't like it, we vote it out. If we don't like it, we just speak against it. We just don't follow it. We just do our own thing. We see a lot of that in our world right now. It causes a lot of us alarm with some things that are going on right now. There are many people around that think governments today are controlling people far too much. Then there are others that think citizens are not responding socially in a responsible way. So we've all got different views and perspectives. And in this room and online today, there'd be many varied views about the positions of what's taking place with this pandemic and the responses to it and how it's being handled here in Queensland and Victoria, let's not speak of that, and other states and nations of the world. So we all know what it's like to have that democratic thing come out of us, and it does, especially in terms of our relationship with God. You know, many of us make the mistake of working with humanology rather than kingdomology. Humanology is very different to kingdomology. Kingdomology is different to man's ideology. Ideology is a word and a thought and a practice that many of us are familiar with, but to give a definition to help us all get on the same playing field today, an ideology is a collection of ideas and beliefs shared by a group of people. It may be a connected set of ideas, a style of thought, or a world view that brings people together. So ideology is ideas and beliefs and opinions, a way of seeing and a way of doing things. It's a culture of our world. It's a way our world functions. It's formed by man and for man. Here's the problem with it. Romans 12, Paul says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. In other words, stop imitating the ideology of your village. The ideology even of your family. And God is all for family, but the ideology of family is not always ideal. Stop imitating the ideologies of political preferences and what you believe in those areas, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This is what God wants to do, bring kingdomology to our ideology, our humanology. He wants to bring kingdomology to it. So he wants to reform the way we think through the Holy Spirit. And it says this will empower you to understand and discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. Everyone say beautiful life. Beautiful. You know, a beautiful life or a brutal life is your choice. Whether it's beautiful or brutal, it is a word. I wrote it in my dictionary. Beautiful or brutal is our choice. Whether we're going to follow the way of the king, the word of the king, or whether we're going to follow the ways of the world, the ideologies and philosophies, the isms of the world, or whether we're going to follow the thought of God and the ways of God, the person of God as our king. This will empower you to discern God's will and live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So Paul tells us to stop it. Stop following the ideologies, the cultures of this world, and allow the Holy Spirit to reform the way you think, to totally give a revolution of the kind of thought processes that you have. So God's kingdom is simply this. It's God's way of doing things. It's God's way of doing things. Now, Jesus, in his most popular sermon, most prominent sermon in all the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, in that sermon, Jesus sat with thousands of people and taught them about life. He brought kingdomology to them. He taught a whole range of subjects. He taught about relationships, anger, forgiveness, revenge, judging, loving others, divorce, promises, giving, prayer and fasting, money, possessions, building on solid foundation, true marks of being a follower of Jesus. And he taught his way of doing things. And he started out by saying this. He would say, you've heard it said in the law of Moses. And then he'd say, but I say unto you. You've heard it said in the law of Moses, but I say unto you. Or to contemporize that a little bit. You've heard it said in your village, but I say unto you. You've heard it said around your kitchen table, your family, but I say unto you. You've heard Uncle Arthur say, but I say unto you. How many of you know the king knows better than Uncle Arthur? The king knows better than what happens around the table. The king knows better than the village. His word and his ways are to be followed. So Jesus brought kingdomology to change thinking, to change thoughts, to change believing. And people couldn't believe what they heard. When they heard it, it was awkward. It was, you know, everything about the kingdom is awkward. Laying down your life is awkward. Nothing pleasant in that at all. That's why the Bible says do it every day. You'd never done it and walked away from it. It's not hit and forget. It's set and forget. It's a daily thing. Lay down your life, take up your cross and follow. Choosing to follow Jesus is a daily thing. You don't do it once at a meeting and put your hand up and think, that's it, I'm now a follower. You follow every day. You keep your hand up. I need saving every day. Anyone else in the room need saving every day? I need saving every day. I need sanctifying every day. I need God's help every day. I need God's presence every day. Why? Because he's king and I'm not. I'm a citizen. I'm under him. I'm dead to him. Are you dead to him? It went real quiet now. That's the picture of what it is to be in the kingdom. One of the things that Jesus said on the mountain that day was this, is if someone asks you to walk a mile, if a soldier asks you to walk a mile and carry his coat, Jesus said, go two. Go 2 miles. If he asks for one, go two. In other words, Jesus was teaching us the principle of serving better, living bigger, doing more than you're asked to do. And it's awkward. It's kind of like, well, I don't want everyone to treat me like dirt. I don't want to be everyone's slave. I just don't want to be serving everybody and letting them take advantage of me. And that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, you be the initiator. Here's the thought. When you're the initiator, no one can take advantage of you. When you're the initiator, no one can take the advantage of you because you have decided to initiate it. You decided to go two. You decided to do more. You decided to serve better. Why? Because that's the way the kingdom operates. Do you know if more people, if more employees, if more clients that serve people in restaurants or service areas, understood this little kingdom principle without letting people take advantage of us. If we understood and practiced this little principle, that we would extend ourselves more, that we would serve more, that we would give more, that we would consider others more, it would be so amazing, the change that would take place around our world and around our lives, the atmosphere that surrounds us and follow us would be so amazing when we embrace the principle and give up the argument. When we embrace the principle and give up the argument, when we embrace God's ways as higher and God's thoughts as higher, then there's great blessing in that. So I choose to be the initiator. I will smile first. I will serve better. I will go further. I will be generous in every way. That's the way a citizen in the kingdom of God thinks and a kingdom of God operates. That's what leads to a beautiful life, a revolutionized life by the Holy Spirit. Then thirdly, there's the territory. You know, the territory of the kingdom of God is the entire earth. The entire earth. It's not just Israel. It's not just that little zone in the Middle East where God's special people were in the Old Testament. It is the entire earth. It's all of humanity. And so a kingdom must have territory, and that territory is called the domain. The need for territory means this: you can't be have a kingdom without a king who has territory, who has a zone, who has land. They need that to rule in and to reign over. Now, in regards to that, the Bible says this, that in the end of times, there's going to be a special announcement made from the heavens, and it's in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where it says this. This is the announcement that the angels are going to bring. It says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Can you see the thought here? The thought of now the kingdom is here, but now the kingdom is also yet to come, when it will be fulfilled and Jesus will reign forever and ever in this kingdom of God. Now I read that verse and I've got to tell you, I take it by faith today. I take it by faith today when I see that verse, and I see it by faith, because the truth is there's not much goodness that's happening in our world right now. There's not a whole lot of good news around the world right now. But don't be discouraged, church. Don't give up because of what's taking place in our world right now. This kingdom, the kingdom of God, does not come by observation. It comes by revelation of God revealing it to us, who he is, where his territory is, who his citizens are, what they do, and his ways and his thoughts. There's a whole lot of good going on. There's a whole lot of good God stories going on in this world that you're not hearing. That you're not hearing of what God is doing. But every kingdom has a territory, and the entire earth is the territory for the kingdom of God to fill. And lastly, everyone say finally. Finally, don't say it with such passion, please. Citizens. A kingdom needs citizens, not just territory. It needs people to be the citizens of the kingdom. And the citizens of the kingdom are the church. Everyone say the church? The church is the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the church, what a beautiful thing the church is. What a peculiar family the church is. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. That's so true. Look around the room. We are a peculiar people. We are from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. There's young, there's old, there's all kinds of preferences and perspectives and opinions and experiences blended in this room today. But we gather together as one to be the church. The church. And we're not the church. We're a part of the church. Churches like this in buildings and rooms and high schools and clubs and pubs all over the nations of this world meeting together as the church. You know, the church was God's plan. It always was God's plan. It always will be God's plan. It's his plan to grow the kingdom is the church. The church is how he extends the kingdom. The church is how he proclaims the kingdom. It's how he plans to grow his territory. So, contrary to popular political opinion or human ideology, I want to declare today the church is absolutely essential, and I don't care who says it's not essential or why they say it's a non-essential. The church is absolutely essential in our world today, and we are essential to the kingdom of God because Jesus established it and established it as the methodology for extending his kingdom. The church is God's plan and idea. Never forget that. Any government or any group that considers the church a non-essential is wrong. R-O-N-G, that's wrong, isn't it? W-R-O-N-G, they're wrong. Wrong. We are an essential in terms of the way we do this journey on earth for our communities. You know, some say the church is not a building, and we make far too much fuss over buildings. And absolutely right, a church is not a building. But a building is a place to gather. We gather in buildings. You know, we've grown up from the day when we used to meet under a mango tree. We really have. We've moved on from that. I mean, it's just uncomfortable. You do it once, it's okay. You do it twice, it's amusing. You do it three times, I'm done with this. But you come to a building and, you know, it's nice. The air conditioner's on, the seats are comfy, there's space. We used to have a cafe where we could have food and coffee, but we can't do that at the moment. It's pleasant. You know, we've got restrooms, we've got a parents' room, we've got kids' church upstairs, we've got a creche upstairs. We've got an online community. The building, I know we're not the building. The church is actually a gathering. It's the word ecclesia, and it means those that are called out to belong. So we're called out of the kingdom of darkness, out of this world, out of its ideology, into kingdomology, and we're called to belong to the kingdom of light and to the king. We are called to belong to that. So the church is a gathering, and the church only functions through gathering. We function through gathering. We're a body, is what the Apostle Paul tells us. And, you know, Paul talks about the parts of our body gathered for the purpose of a body functioning. So he says, like, you've got an eye, you've got an ear, you've got a nose, you've got hands, you've got feet. They all work together in a system called a body. There's a gathering. And the church is the same. God brings all these unusual parts together to play a part so the body can function. So when the church is separated, it can't function. The church's power and the church's superpower is in gathering. Now, thank God for our online capacity and our online platform and our online gathering and our online community. I'm so thankful and so grateful for all the people that make this work to get us online and people that are able to join us online and be a part of our online family. But, you know, if you were to ask anybody at this time that is separated geographically from their family, if you were to ask them, are you thankful for FaceTime and the ability to get on a device and see your family and see their faces and talk? Are you grateful for that? Everyone would say, absolutely, love it. I love it. I love the fact I can Zoom in and have a Zoom meeting or a FaceTime event with family in Victoria or, you know, London or wherever they might be. It's so, so special to see their face and to hear their voice. It's amazing. It's so good. But if you're to ask the next question is, would you rather and do you look forward to the day when you can actually gather and be together as family? Every single one of them would go, oh, absolutely. I love FaceTime. I love Zoom. I love online. But to actually be together with my family, to hold, to hug, to embrace, to talk, to chat, to share, to eat. Nothing better than actually that. And so the second question is a really important question. My point is this. Jesus said, I will build the church. I will build the church. Don't ever underestimate the idea that this is how God builds and occupies his kingdom, through the gathered church. Through the gathered church. The gathered church is our superpower. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against that. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Two thoughts here. It won't prevail, but it is coming against us. Note that. It is coming against us. It's not an easy ride. We have an enemy. The Bible warns us about that. Jesus tells us. He says he's a thief. He comes through the back door. He still kills and destroys. God's plan is to move the church forward, because as he moves the church forward, the kingdom moves forward. But Satan will do anything and everything he can to try and stop the church from advancing. He'll try and hinder. He'll try and harm. He'll try and hurt the church. So our superpower is to gather. Our superpower is to gather and show hell you ain't going to hurt us. You're not going to stop us. You're not going to hinder us. You're not going to harm us. We are going to keep gathering as the church in every platform that we can. Why? Because like David, we have this heart. Psalm 26:8, I love your house. God, I love your house. I love the place where your glory dwells. I love the place where your glory dwells. You know, God's word, it's our constitution in his kingdom. God's word, it's our law. It's what we live by. It's a constitution given to show us the intent of the king, the thoughts of the king, the ways of the king. It's backed by a cross, it's backed by a resurrection, it's backed by a king, eternal, immortal, and invisible. And as citizens, we are subject to this king. We are the subjects of the king. The word subject means to get below. To get below. To let the king be in the highest place. I think it was John the Baptist said of Jesus that he must increase and I must decrease. I love the movie. Maybe I shouldn't admit this publicly. It's always dangerous when you admit loving a movie publicly. Because we all like different sorts of movies. And I don't want to be perceived in any certain way. But I love the movie The King and I. If you haven't seen it, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. It's got Yul Brynner. He just plays that part perfectly of the king. And Anna, who is the school teacher. And the rule of the king was, my head will always be higher than yours. That's how it works when you walk into the presence of the king. We get below him. And that's what Yul Brynner was trying to teach Anna, who was this flamboyant, exuberant, excitable personality, uncontrollable, dominant. And he made the ruling. You never walk into my presence with your head higher than mine. And in a weird kind of way, it's the way it is for us. We're under our king. We lay down our lives daily. And we pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how I'm called to pray. I'm called to pray for the will of God to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And there's a lot happening right now I don't see and understand as the will of God, so I've got more to pray about now than ever. The church needs to understand more than ever now we're in a kingdom. We're not in the club. It's not the RSL. We don't have bingo machines. Oh, not bingo machines. We don't play bingo in here. We don't have machines in the foyer that you can pull a handle and money comes out. You don't get unlimited drinks. You don't get cheap food. We've come to a king and a kingdom that wants to do a lot more than fill our belly. He wants to fill our lives and give us a beautiful life. And so when you see and hear bad news reports, can you just stop for a moment and pray? And you may be thinking, God, I don't know what to pray. Pastor, I don't know what to pray. Well, Jesus told us. He said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come in this situation. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now in our nation, thy kingdom come. Let's stand to our feet, church. Thy will be done in our nation right now, in Jesus' name. In our state right now, in Victoria right now, in New South Wales right now, right across all the states and territories. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When people are rioting, when people are protesting, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When there's disasters, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, that's what it is to get down under the king. It's to pray his will. It's to pray his will and pray for his kingdom to come. Jesus didn't leave us in any doubt what to pray, how to pray. He said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So my prayer is, kingdom come. Kingdom come. Kingdom come in all of our lives. Kingdom come in all of our lives. Over every one of us, God. Kingdom come. For people here that are hurting today, kingdom come. People that are struggling today, kingdom come. People that are in pain physically, dealing with health circumstances, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I'm speechless and I don't know what to pray, I will say, kingdom come. While you've got your eyes closed, head bowed for just a moment. If you're in the room today, you're online today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, as your King. And today is the day to put up your hand and say, God, I want you in my world. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I want you directing. I want you protecting me. I want to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. I'm sick and tired of what this world tells me what to do and how to do it, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We're broken. We're broken. Governments don't work. They're broken. Because humans are broken. And it's only a king, our king, that can put the pieces back together again and make it workable. So if you're in the room today or you're online and you've not yet received Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, or maybe you have, but years ago, and you've fallen well away from that posture, that position, that relationship, today's the day to say, can I ask you to come into my heart and life? And the good news is, when you ask the King to come in, he comes, he rushes, he runs. He runs in, he returns to you. He loves you. He wants your best. The invisible, immortal, eternal King has paid every price that needed to be paid for you and I today. For us to come into a relationship with him, the Bible says all we need to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we do that, we will be saved. We will be saved. It means we will be made right with God. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God and enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only in and through the King that you come. It's the King's pleasure for you to come. For you to come. For you to come. So kingdom come. Kingdom come. If you'd like to receive Jesus in your heart today as your Lord and Savior and as your King, and if you're online, I'd like you to click on the link and say, yes, I've decided to follow Jesus, and we'll follow through and we'll help you today in that decision. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. If you're in the room today while no one's looking around, if you want to surrender your life to the King, to Jesus Christ, our King, become a citizen of his kingdom, a believer, a fully devoted follower of Jesus, would you lift up your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand. I simply want to pray a prayer for you today, introducing you to our King. If that's you, this is your moment. This is your opportunity before we close our service today. Would you lift up your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you today. Thank you. I pray for you today. And pray God to come into your heart and into your life. Make it right. Make your heart right. Redeem you, save you, restore you today. Last time, right across this hall. If that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. Father, we thank you today. We're praying, God, for people online. We're praying today for people in the room that have lifted their hand. We're praying for Jesus to come into hearts and lives today and bring his kingdom into homes and hearts, relationships today, and change everything. For the King's pleasure in the King's way is what I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. We're going to sing this beautiful song, Do It Again, Lord, and just lean in for a moment as we bring our service to a conclusion this morning. We're going to be on this theme for a couple of weeks. I want to invite you to be in the room every week. Make sure you're with us. Also online, make sure you're a part of everything that we're doing. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Lift our hands and sing big.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.